Praise the Lord. Psalm 18, and we'll read the first three verses from the Passion Translation. Lord, verse 1, I passionately love you, and I'm bonded to you, for now you've become my power. You're as real to me as bedrock beneath my feet, like a castle on a cliff, my forever firm fortress, my mountain of hiding, my pathway of escape, my tower of rescue, where none can reach me. My secret strength and shield around me. You are salvation's ray of brightness, shining on the hillside, always the champion of my cause. All I need, verse 3, is to call to you, singing to you, the praiseworthy God. When I do, I'm safe and sound in you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. I love and passionately am bonded to you. I love that. I appreciate that version of the Bible because God is passionate about us. He's passionately in love with us. You know, we just celebrated His coming, God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. And celebrating Christmas, it's so precious because this is the extent of that extreme and extravagant love that God has for us. And He would like us to return that. A few weeks ago, we enjoyed a lovely Christmas time with my family, and many of us are in different parts of the world. And so we were able to come together online, and we were able to have a wonderful time together. And one of my nieces was running the program, if you will. And after we had all been on and we could see each other and say hi and see where we were and talk and chat, and then she would separate us into groups. And we would be in a group where only a fewer of us. And then after a few minutes, we'd come back and we'd be together and she'd break us up into another group. And in one of the groups we were in was one of our niece's daughters. And she's only 6 years old, but she was in control of her own computer and enjoying a conversation with a bunch of adults that I believe she hardly knew any of us, but it didn't matter. She was very comfortable in knowing. And I said to her, you have a special birthday, don't you? And she said, oh, yeah. And I said, did you know I have the same birthday as you do? And she said, you do? Yeah. After that particular session, she ran to her mom and she said, Mom, that other grandpa has the same birthday as I do. And we got a kick out of it, that other grandpa. You know, you just don't see yourself like that. But that would be my relationship with her. She's comfortable with us, knowing we're related because her mother said we were. But her mother is our niece, and we have many nieces and nephews. I come from a large family, Jan's family, nearly a large family. So we have a lot of nieces and nephews. But this little girl's mother is particularly close to us as a niece, a different relationship because of where life had brought us together. And we're related, and we love all of our nieces and nephews. And as I said, we have many. But this particular niece came to live with us when she was a little child because her parents at that time were not able to provide her with a good home. And so it was a large family intervention, if you will, and they asked if Jan and I would take custody of her for a while. And we said, of course. And it was a good relationship. It was a good fit because we had little girls ourselves, and she was going to fit right in. And she did. And we had a wonderful time as long as we had her. And when her parents were able to reestablish themselves and provide a good home, we lovingly transferred her back to her mother and father. But because of that time that we had with her, that time where we're reading her bedtime stories, we're having our meals together, we're getting up in the morning and doing things that families do, you know, throughout the week, and she became a part of that. And when you think it's all giving and giving, but it wasn't, especially if you had little girls in your house, okay, the love that they are able to give back to you and the passion about everything that they live, that they're able to give back to you. Jan and I realized we were receiving as much as we were giving. It was fantastic. And so that changed our relationship with this particular niece. We're no longer just related. Suddenly, we have a closer bond, if you will, like the psalmist said, Lord, I passionately love you and I'm bonded to you. And we had this bonding with our niece that we still feel a more closeness because of that, even though it was so many years ago. We still feel that way. And so it was It was extra nice to be in a group with her daughter and her relating to us. But when I am relating this, I'm trying to get us to see that you can be related to somebody, but you can have a relationship in a different way. And I know that we know that. I know that we understand that. But our Heavenly Father longs to have a closeness with us that no matter how good we think it is now, it can be better. No matter how strong that relationship is, it can be stronger. No matter how important that relationship is, it can even become more important. And that raises a question, how can it be more important? Because the stronger the bond, the more passionate the bond, like the psalmist is bringing up, the closeness, then the more that our Heavenly Father can relate through us to other people and bring that relationship closer to Him. God wants to know, not only do we feel related to Him, but will we allow our relationship to become closer? If so, how close? How close will we allow that, our relationship, to become with our Heavenly Father? I'm related to God, and if you're a Christian, you are too. But how I relate to God defines that relationship with me, and that's what we discovered with having our niece come to live with us. We were related to her, but suddenly she defined our relationship even more by responding to us as though she was one of our daughters. And it was fantastic for the time that it lasted. It was great that we could do that and we could have that bond. You see, God looks at people and He loves people, right? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. And He would say to us, I'm God, you're people, I love people. Then He might say, I'm God and you're my people. If we're Christians, we're related to Him, you're my people, I love you because we're family. Or God might look at us as we draw closer to Him, I'm God and you're my man or my woman, you're my child, and we've bonded, and there's a bonding. And God wants to bond with us this year. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor Jim. I have a great relationship with God. We do too. Jan and I are on fire for God, and we have a wonderful relationship with Him. Do I think it could be closer? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Every time I read Philippians chapter 3, I'm like, this is the Apostle Paul. You know, I press. He's pressing into God. I'm forgetting the small stuff, and I'm pressing into God. This is the Apostle Paul, for crying out loud. And I really feel like each and every one of us, we could have this fire stoked within us. We could just be so much more closer, more bonded, more passionately in love with God. And I'm convinced, just from the way we live, and I'm convinced from pastoring and dealing with so many different people, I believe we can all get there with a lifestyle change, so that we can be closely related to God. And the changes don't have to be great. They can be subtle. They can be so subtle that people don't even notice. But yet, if the change happens, people will notice, because change will take place. I passionately love you, and I'm bonded to you. For now, you've become my power. And then he goes through in verse 2, I'm back to Psalm 18, different things, the bedrock beneath my feet, the castle on a cliff, forever a firm fortress, a mountain of hiding, a pathway of escape, a tower of rescue where none can reach me, my secret strength and shield around me. You're my salvation's ray, the brightness shining on a hillside, always the champion of my cause, and all I need to do is call to you. And he lists these wonderful things. And God says to us, I can be that to you. I can be all of that to you. And when he sent Jesus, he proved it. And then when he raised Jesus from the dead, he demonstrated it. And when we are related to him and we have this relationship with him, and the tighter we get with him, the more bonded, as the psalmist said, that we become to him, the more passionate we are about our relationship with him, suddenly it becomes even more special, because you have drawn closer. In Psalm 23, many of us are familiar with that. In fact, I encourage you to memorize that, those six verses in Psalm 23. But many of us know this psalm. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd, he begins in verse 1, and I shall not want. And I taught on this many years ago, and I bring it up occasionally. And in teaching, I use the word when, and then we went through a series of things. But you begin the sentence and just add the word when. When the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because in fact, that's the truth, that the Lord could be our shepherd if we allow him to be. But if he's not, then we're going to be in want. If the Lord is my shepherd, or when the Lord is my shepherd, what does that mean? When the Lord leads, when he's my Lord, when he's my protector, he's my shepherd, he's my leader, I'm following him. When that happens, I shall not want. And suddenly I realize he's my provider. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He's my provider. He leads me beside still waters. He's my provider. He restores my soul. He's my confidence. My mind, my will, my emotions become confident. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. What is he? He's my deliverer. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. What is he? He's my refuge and my rock. And what did he say? What did the psalmist say? You are as real to me as the bedrock beneath my feet. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's our helper. He promised he would be, and he's there all the time. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's our boldness. In the presence of our enemies, there we are feasting with God in our close, tight, bonded relationship that we have with him. And we're bold, baby. You anoint my head with oil. Isn't it wonderful to understand that what God's called you to do at this particular time in your life, you're anointed to do it. You know, we were anointed to be parents, and we look back at it and we were good parents. We are good parents. And then we had an opportunity to parent another child, a child of one of our siblings, and we were anointed for it. And it was wonderful. It worked out great for us and the child. It was just wonderful. He anointed our head with oil. My cup runs over. That's a breakthrough, baby. And some of us, we are believing God for breakthrough. When the Lord is your shepherd, when we tie that relationship closer and we become more bonded in our relationship, he becomes our breakthrough. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our life. He's our covering wing. He's the love of our life. We're victorious. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's our strong tower, our shelter, and our fortress. Amen. And we're related to God, and we're related to him in a very special way. God is all that. He can be all that, just like he listed in Psalm 18, particularly that second verse. And then Psalm 23, all of these things that God says, I am to you, and I can be to you. And it depends on our relationship. Last week, we read Matthew chapter 16 from the Message, verse 24, 25, and 26. Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. He said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade for your soul? You see, our lifestyle and the way we live in our relationship to our Heavenly Father allows him to be to us everything that the Bible says he is. Everything that he says he is. And the way we live our lives in relationship with him actually makes God all of that to us. We make a joke, God's all that and the bag of chips. I won't get in. Well, yeah, I'm going to get in. You know, there's this thing in Ireland because of the Brexit. Chippers they're concerned because most of the chips that are sold in the chipper are from a potato that's grown in the UK. They're not using Irish potatoes. They're using British potatoes because the particular potato is perfect in the chipper. I didn't know that. Maybe you didn't know it either. So a lot of the chippers in Ireland are concerned because of the Brexit. And the cost of these potatoes might go up. We might have to start using Irish potatoes. Anyway, I thought it was funny. Well, God's all that in the bag of chips. And guess what? Unlike our chips, he doesn't change. He's not changing, all right? He wants to be all that. And we can have him be all that, all of these things. And it's up to us. It's up to us in our relationship. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I love what it says in the Amplified there. He says, behold, the fresh and new has come. And the Lord's calling us, lads, in 2021 for the fresh and new to come, to really walking by faith and not by sight, to really having a relationship with our Heavenly Father where we completely, unequivocally trust in him. In everything, acknowledge him. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. Pastor Jan and I have had this saying for a long time. I really don't remember when we began to say this to each other. We would always look at each other and say, things always work out fine for us. Everything will be well. Everything's going to be okay. It will.
It has to. Why? Because of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. He is that. He is everything He says He is to us because we allow Him to be that to us. We treasure our relationship with Him, and we make sure that He can be all of those things He says He is to us. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Oh, He is this. And every other good thing in our life, God is that way, and we permit it. And it can be that way for you right now. It can improve for you right now. And your life can soar in Christ Jesus right now. Listen, life is great in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, but I don't want it to stay where it is. I want to be closer with Him. I want more of God's life, not just in me, but I want more of God's life to flow through me. And I know you feel the same way. So God's calling us to a lifestyle change. It's not a drastic change, but it's a change that causes us to think. And so beginning in January, well, we're in January, but beginning on the 10th of this month through the 30th, we're calling for a 21-day fast. Now, a lot of people have a lot of different ideas about what a fast should be and how we should fast. And it's got to be like this. And this is the kind of fast that the Lord is talking about and all this sort of thing. Well, this is how the Lord had put it on our hearts to bring it to you for 21 days. Now, some people have already begun it. They're on a 21-day fast and they start on the 1st and this sort of thing. We're not. We're starting on the 10th and we're going to go through the 30th for 21 days. And as I said last week, we don't want it to be a fast where by the time the fast is over, we're all going, phew. Well, I'm glad that's over with. That's not the fast that the Lord's looking for. I believe the fast that the Lord's looking for is for a lifestyle change, for a fasted lifestyle, so that we begin to live closer to God and we fast the things that are prohibiting a closer, tighter relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, fasting is an act of humility. It says, I can't do this on my own. It tells our flesh nature, our human nature. It says, you need to be quiet now. And my spirit man, the real me, I need that voice to be predominant in my life. The Holy Spirit that is living and dwelling within my spirit, that's the voice that I need to hear. That's the voice I need to follow. That's where my emotions want to be controlled from, not from my humanistic flesh emotions. Proverbs chapter 22 says, true humility and the fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and a long life. Or in the Passion Translation, laying your life down in tender surrender before the Lord will bring life, prosperity, and honor as your reward. Fasting is a focus change. It's meant to change us. Fasting doesn't change God. The Lord said, I am God and I don't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing. He's calling for us to change. Fasting, yes, it says there's food fast. That's important. That's tough. And for a lot of us, there's a lot of food that we could abstain from. But a lot of times the word fasting in the Bible is abstaining. And I don't believe that the Lord's calling us to make a fast that's going to just be abstaining from food. I think there's other things in our life that we could abstain from, other things that might be distracting us from drawing closer to God, might be distracting us from drawing closer to other people, to reaching out to other people, to coming out of ourselves and allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through us to someone else and be a blessing to someone else. Remember, He said in Matthew chapter 16, and I read this, this is from the Message, you're not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering. And when we read scripture about suffering, that we might suffer with Him, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. I don't believe that suffering is that we have to purposely go out and suffer like Jesus did. He's not calling us to that. I believe the suffering that Jesus did was He didn't come to do His will. He came to do the Father's will. And I believe that's the suffering that the Lord's calling us to. And I believe that that's what fasting will accomplish for us. When we abstain from things that are causing us to be distracted from drawing closer to Jesus. He said, embrace the suffering. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help, verse 25, Matthew 16, I'm referring back to, is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. And I believe that suffering, we can incorporate fasting. It's not allowing our flesh, our nature, our human nature, to have everything that it wants. Not my way, Lord, but yours be done, Jesus said. Father, not my way, but your way. Not my will, but your will. Fasting is healthy, lads. Fasting will help us break bad habits and form good habits. I once heard someone say that they went on a mouth fast where they would only speak faith-filled, positive, life-giving words. They learned to talk a lot less. I think there's times a lot of us could go through that. I remember you don't have to apologize for saying the wrong thing if you don't say it. I thought that was good advice. But fasting can be bad habit breaking because you're abstaining and you decide. Fasting with God is flesh suppression, not flesh depression. God's not calling us to go on a hunger strike, and He's not calling us to do something unhealthy for our body. The Lord's calling us to a lifestyle change. And I'm encouraging you to get before the Lord and say, Lord, what is it in my life that I should abstain? What is it that's preventing me from drawing closer to you? What is it that prevents me, Lord? What could I abstain from that would help me allow you to flow through me and be a brighter light, to be saltier salt, and to be a blessing, where the gifts of the Spirit will flow through me freely, boldly, confidently, because the Lord is my shepherd, because I'm following you. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, I'll read from the New King James, and then Romans 8, 9 through 11, I'll read from the Message. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And this is what the Lord's calling us to. But if God Himself has taken up residence, this is verse 9 from the Message, Romans 8. If God has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than Him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome Him, in whom He dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, He'll do the same thing in you that He did in Jesus, bringing you alive to Himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and He does, as surely as He did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With His Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. And this is the intention of us calling for a fast from the 10th through the 30th of January, to set aside or abstain from the things that prevent us from experiencing a life like Christ, or from experiencing the Christ-like life. Amen? I referred to this Philippians 3, verse 10. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience His resurrection power, and be a partner in His suffering, and go all the way with Him to death itself. 2021, lads, will be a special year for those in relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be a special year for those who have been in relationship with God and draw even closer with Him. I want to encourage you more now than ever. Draw closer to Jesus. Draw closer to our Heavenly Father and allow the Holy Spirit to move through us. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, now's a perfect time to do that. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Don't worry about listing all of them. Just sin. Just please forgive me. And then receive the Holy Spirit and get in touch with us, and we can help you further.